Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. And the topic of our podcast today, we have a little historic podcast today, which is appropriate for History Dweebs, don't you think, Randy?
I would guess.
It's on the Blackout Ripper, Gordon Frederick Cummings, a serial killer that attacked and murdered his victims during the Blitz in London during World War II. So we'll talk about Mr. Cummings' dastardly deeds, but before we do, let me introduce our panel. We're very pleased to have with us today a very special guest, a frequent contributor to the show, but a man who is...
Did you say a freak contributor?
Frequently.
Frequent.
I'm not sure what I contribute, but...
No, much. You contribute a great deal.
As much as I do.
I'm not writing
a lot more, actually, than you do. And that is young Casey. How you doing, Casey?
Good. How you doing, Tim?
Doing well. We're glad that you could join us today. This was unexpected. If we'd known you'd come, Brandy would have baked a cake.
I probably would have.
Would like to have something in here. Something to drink.
You have water.
Yeah, I had to go send the colonel out.
Yeah, and he got you.
The colonel
he went scavenging and got you what? Water
and... Water and crackers.
Water and cheese crackers.
Now, if he was on Naked and Afraid...
You'd that be, water you'd and be crackers, grateful for you, that.
Yeah, that'd be the be best fucking like cheese cracker you've ever had.
Exactly.
You'd be grateful.
So what's going on, Casey? No, anything exciting happen?
Not much of anything. Got my work done early today and just was in the area and figured out what you guys were up to. Had a sneaking suspicion you were podcasting today.
We are. We had planned the podcast earlier in the week, but
Typhoid Timmy.
I had some vile disease. I don't know what it was. Dung fever, I think.
Well, okay.
Dung fever?
The Zika virus?
No, it wasn't Zika. You know, actually, I looked up Zika since I went to Columbia. I thought maybe I got that shit, but the symptoms for that is really, really different. I thought it would be fever, you know, your typical flu symptoms, but it's like rash and joint problems.
You got the rash from something else, right?
Yeah, yeah. that was a shot of
penicillin, clear that right up.
Right. So anyway, we're glad you could join us, Casey, and we understand. Tell us about your daughter.
Well, I have two little girls. The oldest one is, as you listeners who listened to the last podcast, has been playing golf for about 4 years now, and she's really good, loves it, works hard at it.
Now, how old is she?
8.
8 years old. She's been playing golf for 4 years?
Yeah, she started when she was four and a half. She came to me one day and said, "Dad, I want to play golf," and she ran with it.
So Noah says that to me, and he lies because
right.
then he doesn't. He thinks he knows already knows how to play.
Right.
So did you teach her or
no? No. She'll probably she's better than I am.
She's already surpassed.
Yeah. She's already better than I am. No, I didn't teach her. We found a place in Lexington that a gentleman there that has taken an interest in her, and they have a special bond and work hard together and. She loves it.
That's awesome. And now she's in, I know she's won some tournaments.
Yep.
And last time I think she's...
She's very good.
She's very good. So, wow, that's great. 8 years old. Man, I wasn't even fucking walking hardly when I was 8 years old.
You don't fucking hardly walk now.
He shuffles now.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, you know, I can play like miniature golf.
Well, you know.
They're already trying to teach her how to hit a fade and hit a draw and, you know,
here's
how
a really
to make
cool
the ball
thing.
Spin.
Watch this. Tell us about your other daughter.
My other daughter is a train wreck.
she basically did Brandy at a family.
Without question.
Awesome.
Without question.
She's awesome.
She is what she makes up for in size, because she is very small. she makes up for with attitude.
And she's spectacular.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Now, what's their names?
Georgia Blair.
Georgia
is the oldest.
And she's the golfer.
That's a beautiful name.
And she's the golfer, and Campbell is the youngest one.
Awesome. Now, is Georgia on YouTube? Can we find her?
Georgia is not on YouTube. Georgia is on the Twitter.
On the Twitter. Okay.
And people can try to find her that way. And that she has highlights on the Twitter.
Georgia Blair? Is it on Twitter? Is it Georgia Blair?
Georgia B. Golf.
Georgia B. Golf.
And
okay.
Sometimes I post things when I get them from Casey that might not necessarily go on there.
I can't even imagine playing golf at 8 years
old. She's very good. She's very, very focused and driven. So, which is more than anybody at this table.
So basically, she's going to be she's your retirement package.
Well, I'm just hoping she makes it to college, and if she can get her college paid for, everything else.
And, you know, golf is a good one to get. It truly is. Golf's one of the more...
Women's golf especially.
You trade that off because clearly she's going to be a lesbian.
Well, clearly.
It's trade off.
Which makes it much nicer, actually. Raising a lesbian girl is much easier.
I don't have to worry about the wing.
You know what? That's what I used to tell people with the twins.
Don't have to worry about the
wing. And with my boys, it's like, you know what? You got a daughter. I got to worry about what my three boys' penises are doing.
Yeah.
You got to worry about every penis in the world.
Yep.
So hopefully she'd be a lesbian.
And that's an inside joke between me and Brandy that goes years back about the golf and lesbianism. So.
Well, Brandy played the college softball.
Yeah. Well, that's a given. College softball is a given with the lesbianism. Yes.
That's like a...
You know, and there's a lot of...
You're automatically enrolled into the lesbian association.
I mean, are you even allowed to play college softball if you're straight?
You can be bi.
You can be bi.
You can be bi, but you can't.
I got my sponsor a toaster when I signed up, okay? Can we let it go at that?
You know, speaking of the penis, I watched this documentary because, you know, I've been sick the last few days. And I was watching a documentary on, I was looking for podcast ideas. So
I'm sure you were.
Give me a little room here. I was looking for podcast ideas, and there was this story about the Soviet Union during the Second World War developing an army of apes. So I thought
they would be badass.
Exactly. So what they tried to do, what the documentary, this is might be urban legend, but apparently they did give this scientist some money to try to go down and went down to Africa and try to impregnate apes with humans. They wanted this cross.
So they wanted this guy to go and hump a monkey.
No, he took some semen.
He took
and then he artificially inseminated some.
Are we talking about gorillas or monkeys?
I think gorillas, maybe. But anyway,
I think you'd have to roofie a gorilla real good to bang
at
a gorilla.
Least. I'm not sure. But anyway, no, gorillas, because they're bigger.
Yeah.
So he tried orangutans, but because the gorillas are so close to human, you know, their genes and stuff are so close to human. But anyway, he tried it, and it didn't work. He couldn't impregnate
them. Get the fuck out of town. No
so
way.
Then he came up with the idea, wait a minute, why am I going all the way to Africa to impregnate gorillas? Why don't I just take some gorilla sperm and go back to Russia? And because I have all these women that I can try to impregnate there and use the Russian women as the mothers.
What the fuck are you watching?
I don't know, but it didn't work out.
How did we get on this topic?
Hold on. Timmy, was this on a porn channel?
Right, this is what I'm wondering.
I swear to God.
Was it on Pornhub? No,
yes.
It was the Russian.
Like
no, it was an experiment. It didn't turn out, but Stalin wanted an army of eight kind / humanoid men who were very strong.
Right.
But also they were, you know, half man, half ape. But anyway,
Stalin's a lunatic.
He started going around. He's trying to impregnate these women. It just made me think about it when you said,
penis.
You know, you got to worry about all the penises in the world. Well, this guy was going about it the wrong way. He was trying to impregnate the gorillas with human semen. And said, "The hell! I don't need to do that. I only need one gorilla.
Okay,
and then I can go back to Russia."
Wait a minute.
This begs the question.
Harvesting that semen.
That's what I was going to say.
Harvesting that semen.
I'm not sure how he did it.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Because usually they'll show that kind of thing.
Because there's a lot of jobs in this world. But being the gorilla reach around guy is not the job that I want to have.
The gorilla fluffer.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, when you hold the cup, does one guy hold the cup, the other guy hold the gorilla?
There's only one guy. I'm assuming a gorilla is not conscious at the time, but. Well, they said.
There are men that have the same theory about women.
The flaw in the theory was that it would work, which obviously it didn't. But two, that even if it did, how would you control them and get them to participate as soldiers?
give them guns. They'll figure it
Stalin
out.
Stalin was full of great theories.
I'm already regretting coming in here today.
You just been here 5 minutes.
This makes me think of a very quick story.
You're not here yet.
You're not here yet. Oh, okay. They introduce me and I can get here.
You're not here. Don't introduce him.
So let me introduce Brandy. Brandy, of course, a very lovely and talented Brandy who has been, who has a lot of followers on our Facebook page. And, you know, it's a creepy kind of...
Cult.
Yeah, vagina mafia. It's really creepy, but they seem to like her for some reason. The Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, and Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Well, first of all, I'm fine. But my little group over here where we are is not nearly as...
The vagina mafia.
Whatever. Vigilantes.
Yeah.
Mammary mafia. Are not nearly as fucked up as this little island, this guy's island of misfit toys.
You're referring to the colonel who we haven't introduced yet.
Yes, so he can't talk. So, yeah, he's got, you know, there's some.
I did see a petition, the request to lift the ban on him singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already voted that down. This is not a democracy. This isn't a democracy. This is a monarchy, actually. And no, I already hashtagged hell no on that. So it's there. It's written.
Okay.
It is written and it is decreed.
You're not here yet.
Hashtag hell no.
We are also very honored to be joined today by a man of great distinction.
Are you introducing Casey again?
A man who is renowned. And I must say, who is a good guy. He covered, I would say both of you. Both of you. Well, Casey too, but especially you two since we worked together. Casey didn't do a whole lot
Casey
for me.
Casey didn't have shit to do with
it. No, but I was sick this week and then I was out. You know, I've been on vacation, so I haven't really been here a lot. But Brandy and Chuck both have been really wonderful covering for me in my absence. And they're, you know, I do so much around here. It's like holding up. It's like Atlas, taking over for Atlas when he's gone.
It takes two of us.
Yeah. But I do appreciate all you've done for me while I was out.
We can talk about your island of misfit toys and what it took to wrangle that shit.
But thank you both. Thank you both. So I'm very honored to introduce the very distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman, and also known as Sir Charles and Reverend Charles. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing wonderful, Timmy. I'm doing wonderful. There was a couple things I wanted to get into here real quick. Tanner, my son, called me on the phone. He occasionally, his friends listen to the podcast. Tanner will occasionally listen to one. And you saw him jumping on the page the other day.
Yes.
Correct me. I embarrass the boy sometimes. But he said to me, you know, Dad, I noticed there's a little bit of there's some hostility between you and Brandy.
He noticed that.
He won't.
He's very perceptive. You're
right. On top of it.
He listened for a whole 5 minutes and was able to tell that.
He won't refer to her as the devil. He referred to her as Brandy. And he said, you know, Dad, here's what I want you to consider. I want you to consider that, you know, you and Brandy probably come from very, very different places in this world. He's like, you know, you was a likable, popular kid growing up. You had a lot of friends. And maybe Brandy just didn't. She didn't have friends. She wasn't very popular. She, you know, and he said, just consider it. He said, just consider it. And maybe, you know, if you would show a little kindness to her, because she's coming from a place of hostility. You know, the world has been hard on her. you know, because you didn't have friends growing up. People didn't. I mean, Casey, you could probably testify to this. You know, she didn't.
So far, your son is he psychic?
Yeah.
Does
I mean,
work with
people didn't like
Adam
him.
I'm sure he didn't grow up in the household.
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo.
Yeah, he says, you know, people probably didn't like her. It wasn't nice to her. And then she got to high school, and, you know, people dropped the pig's blood and whatnot on her. And he said, Dad, why don't you just try to extend the olive branch to the lady, and maybe you could change her whole world. Maybe you could just make her a little nicer, a little kinder, a little... So Devil, I would like to say here that...
Before you extend the olive branch, it won't work. There's no point.
This coming from a man with a lot of broken branches.
A lot of broken branches. There's no need to even...
And
extend that olive
branch. And I said, Tanner,
I dare you.
If I extend the olive branch, she will take it and beat me with it. And he said, Dad, you just have to understand that not everybody, you know, has come from the place that you've come from. And she's carrying a lot of anger around with her, a lot of hostility. And try to be a little kinder to her. So from now on, Brandy, I'm going to try to be a little bit kinder.
Don't do it,
you.
Colonel.
Well,
don't do it.
First of all, I do want to ask, because you and I are supposed to go to we will be at a soiree this weekend.
Oh, yes, we will. I forgot about that.
Yes, where I assume all of your children will be there.
Taylor got tickets to a concert, and he's not going to be there. So
he's sort of like me and my mom's birthday.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Well, we'll just run all this past your wife, and that's fine. We'll do that. But this is what I'm going to do. Now, come here. Take my hands.
I'm afraid.
Oh, take my
hands.
You should
be.
It's okay.
You should be afraid.
We're going to take that olive branch, and we're going to shove it straight in your ass. And I hope that you understand...
That is coming from a place of love.
That is coming from a place of love.
Thank you.
And that you need not step out of line again with your bullshit olive branches. Okay?
Don't move.
We're getting a photo.
We're going to get a photo for the website of them holding hands.
I'm going to try my best to be kinder to you.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, don't wear yourself out. We're okay.
Well, so, truthfully, Colonel, we give you a hard time. And, you know, you asked last week, a couple weeks ago, someone said, about us always making fun of your mother's death. And we always say,
she is dead.
God rest her soul.
God rest her soul.
She's dead.
She had the cancer. She got the cancer. But I was thinking, you know,
the consumption.
That's different. But you know, I mean, your life is really. In all honesty, if someone wrote his childhood, like Charles Dickens wrote a story of his childhood, it'd be rejected because no one would believe it. The guy had a fucked up childhood. But
I'm a fairly well adjusted man now.
You are very well adjusted. So given that, you've got four lovely children. You got a beautiful wife. You're a very lucky man.
I don't know how that happens.
I don't know either. But it's really amazing when you think of, you know, the stuff you went through. And in all seriousness, you went through a lot of shit growing up.
Well, thank you, Timmy. I like to think that I came out the better for it. But let me get into what we was discussing.
Okay.
I had a friend, a very good friend.
Is he dead now, too?
He was a number four rodeo. He's still alive. Okay. He was at one time the number four bull rider in the country.
No shit.
Yeah. And then
number four.
You only last so long in that.
He's the fourth loser.
Our uncle was the number one Russian roulette player in the world.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
Held that title for a year.
He lost his crown very quickly.
Yeah.
So anyway, his job after that was he went to work on a farm that bred stud bulls.
Yeah.
Well.
And the object that they use is a carpet.
It's just not a mediocre lover. It had to be a stud.
It had to be a stud bull.
Stud bull. They had gold chains.
And they would have...
Adidas sweatshirt.
Yeah. A little high karate.
Oh, God.
They would have...
Sex Panther.
Imagine a piece of 4x8 plywood with a hole cut in the middle.
I can't imagine it.
And a silicone sleeve lubricated.
You saw one of those down in Columbia, didn't you, Tim?
Exactly.
In person.
Tim, and what Tim they do is Saturday. They lead the bull. Somebody actually has to get under there and manually get the bull aroused.
Right.
Then they lead the bull, and it's this carpenter.
I wish the audience could have saw the hand motion you were making. Just
What I wish is that this story would just end,
and we could get on to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, he said it was more dangerous than riding bulls.
Well, yeah, jacking off a bull, touching his winger, touching a bull's pecker is more dangerous than riding on top of it. Well, you do it for a minute,
and then you guide it into the sleeve, and then they start humping the thing.
That's the way they do thoroughbreds down in Kentucky. Yeah. That's the way they do all
the only thing more dangerous than jacking off a bull is actually getting down there and giving him a hummer. That would be just more dangerous than that. But fuck yeah, it's more dangerous than riding a goddamn
And not bull. Nearly as rewarding.
No, for anybody.
Where does your mind go sometimes?
All right. I wonder. Shout outs coming real quickly so we can get into the blackout river.
A few shout outs today.
Three. You get three. Three.
We're doing, go to three.
We're doing three.
We got Kim Taylor, of course. Tiffany, hope you recover from your storm damage. Carla, hope you find a man soon. And don't meet him in Subway.
Carla in Portsmouth.
Carla in Portsmouth. Don't meet him in Subway. Christine Bourgeois. I got that right again. Bree.
That's a little pretentious name, Christine. I'm just saying.
It's very bougie.
Yeah.
My trusted ally. Well, of course, we got Scotty J. But my trusted ally and Shannon Rossett, who's handling all the money for the First Church of the Latter Day, Colonel.
Yeah.
Nicola. Of course, Nicola Reed.
Who I think just got her law degree.
She did. Congratulations, she did. Nicola.
Congratulations, big time.
She'll maybe probably pass the bar.
She'll probably pass the bar, yeah.
Which means we need to go to her for our legal advice.
We got Jennifer Burdick, who Jennifer is just a sweet girl. Just very sweet. Sarah's also a very sweet girl.
More than three.
Trish Hillard out in St. Louis. She got they got the storms before we got them, and we got tornadoes down here. A couple of lovely Irish girls, Frances Darton and Tara Nee. Just a couple of fine Irish lasses.
Don't
there.
Do that.
Oh yeah.
We're doing three today. And
let's see. We of course we can never forget Beverly, Lady Beverly, who takes her football seriously out there. Yes. I mean, I have to laugh at some of her posts because she wants coaches and stuff executed when her team
That's
leaves.
Right. I
mean,
I get that. She wants them put in the Tower of London.
And, of course, the incomparable Dottie Scott. Dottie made a post that I forgot her, and there has nary been a podcast that I have forgotten nary. That fine lady.
Nary,
Not, a, nary a one.
Yeah, I think a couple of them you have.
I have never forgotten Gaddotti. Don't you? Shut
never,
your mouth.
You might have forgotten her, but you never gave her a shout out. I would like to give a shout out, especially a shout out to those who are supporting us through Patreon. Alicia and Chip, thank you very much. Cindy Lou, thank you for your support. And Bridget, thank you very much, Bridget. Bridget doesn't post much, but she's a longtime listener, and we really appreciate your support, and thank you very much.
Long-time
because
listener, first time caller.
And she hasn't called. She don't post much, but she listens, and she's supporting the podcast, and we really appreciate it.
Good.
And I will say that I'm getting out this Logan's graduation parties this weekend, but the day after that, and Timmy, Brandy informed me that you probably were not going to be able to make the party, and Renee will be calling you about that.
Okay. But I am...
She is not pleased with you, Timmy.
You have a prior
I'm sending a hologram of myself.
You have a prior
okay.
engagement?
Okay, Tupac, do that.
Yeah.
At the brothel.
It's sick.
But, and I don't want to...
You tried that earlier this week.
I won't name names, but I mentioned the other day, and I got a couple requests in my private box in Facebook for a couple colonels.
Now my mom is going to give me
a couple autographed pictures of the colonels, so they will be getting sent out this week.
Did you?
And I did. And Dottie, yeah, your son couldn't show up for your birthday. He can't show up for my son's graduation. And
congratulations, Logan.
And I don't know if you people understand what an accomplishment getting this boy through high school was.
I can appreciate it.
He's a very smart young man.
Well, so yeah, he's a very smart young man.
He's already a
he's
great,
like his mother.
He's already going to be a great photographer. He's already a great photographer, so he's going to do quite well.
So congratulations, Logan. Also want to give a shout out to Mike Moody and Mike Freeman and Jario. I believe I spelled that right or pronouncing that right. Brandy, any quick shout outs before we get into the story?
Quickly, Lydia and Allie and Linda Middleton, thank you so much for posting and being active, and we have a lot of fun on that page.
Oh, and Linda Middleton, just so you know, I never forget. Uh-huh. I never forget Linda.
And Erica.
Yes. Erica says she never got a shout out from you. So,
no, yeah. Because, you know, people talk over me and then you don't hear things and whatever. Yeah. But we got you today, Erica. So.
Yeah.
And we're going to be, we're trying to be kinder and gentler to you.
Yeah. No, and our apologies for.
Why?
Because Tana enlightened me. Tana told me.
Did he?
Yeah.
You will be sorely disappointed. That's with right. The results of the
I just have to whoop Tanner's ass. He figured that's
it, think about Chamberlain and Hitler, how that turned out.
So I'm appeasing.
You're a Chamberlain.
The devil. She's Hitler. She will run through you.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Okay, speaking of Hitler and Chamberlain.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's talk about the Blackout Ripper. We're all familiar with Jack the Ripper, right? We're all familiar with the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe. But this story is about another Ripper. You know what? If I become a serial killer, so please do not let them fucking call me the Ripper. Okay?
Oh, no.
Well, don't
get people. You're going to be the Shuffler.
That's fine.
Be the Shuffler. You got to strangle. If you don't strangle people, you're going to be the
Shuffler. No. Because that's how people know he's coming, because he's shuffling out.
That's scary shit.
Yeah.
The Shuffler.
Okay, that's fine. Just don't let him call me the
Every
Ripper.
Every day he's shuffling.
Everybody is called the Ripper.
Yeah, I won't.
So we had the Jack the Ripper, we had the Yorkshire Ripper, but this is where the one we're going to talk about today is their lesser-known brother. Not really. Not this
distant
brother.
Cousin.
Distant cousin. The Blackout Ripper. And that is Gordon Frederick Cummings. So our story takes place in London. That's in England, Brandy.
Oh, okay.
Not
London, Ohio.
Not London, Ohio. Not London, Ontario. But London, England, in 1942.
London, Kentucky.
When the Second World War was on their way. It was a very frightening time for the city. The world was at war, you know. And London was subjected to nightly bombing raids by the German Luftwaffe, the Air Force.
Nice.
The Blitz, which is a German word for lightning, was name applied to the attacks by the British press because the bombings were very heavy and frequent and carried out over Britain in throughout the war, really, but really heavily in the 1940s. The bombing focused on industrial targets, but also moved towards civilian centers, such as the city of London, starting in September 1940. So Hitler's plan was to bomb the English, to destroy the Royal Air Force, and to bomb the English into submission, or at least to set the stage for the invasion of England by Germany. But as we know, things turned out different. Over a period of 267 days in the early 1940s, London was attacked 71 times. Birmingham, Liverpool, and Plymouth 8 times each. Bristol 6, Glasgow 5. So all the cities were repeatedly getting bombed at night and during the day by the German Air Force.
Timmy, can I cut in here just quickly?
Sure.
And because people like to learn things on the podcast.
Yes. So why are you cutting in?
Clearly why they tune in to this podcast. They want to learn things.
During this time, the British developed first radar. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what the radar's name was?
No.
What they called it?
No.
O'Reilly.
Snoopy.
Nice.
That's why they made him the Red Baron.
And this what we got going on here, the Blitzkrieg, that actually started over an accidental bombing.
Yes, you're right. You're actually right. I didn't include it in our facts.
Yeah, that started an accidental bombing. The Germans were bombing the coastal where they thought military things were.
Military targets.
One German plane got off course, bombed a city, dropped a bomb on a city. And it pissed Churchill off to no end. You know, they're only across the pond from each other.
Right.
Pissed Churchill off to no end. So he sent English bombers over to bomb German cities.
Right.
And then that started the whole...
Well, I'm glad you clarified that on the blitz, because I thought it was when the defense sends an extra linebacker across the line of scrimmage. So I'm glad...
That too.
Yeah.
Thank God. You're right, Colonel. Actually was something informative. Thank you for including that.
Well, people like to learn. I like to think I'm a font of knowledge for our listeners.
You're one of those people that reiterates the very obvious.
I was going to include it, but I figured it was over your guys' head, so I thought, I'm just going. But anyway, so as you can tell, it was a very tense time in London. Almost every night there were the... had what was called blackouts because they didn't want the Germans, obviously, to see the targets that they were, this is a different time, and they didn't have all the sophisticated equipment that they have now. So they turned, they had they asked citizens, and the cities would turn off their lights so that the Germans wouldn't know what they were bombing, right? They couldn't find their targets easy. So that's what happened. I think I was given some statistics before I was rudely interrupted.
You see,
in 1940,
he slid that.
He seems a little touchy since he's been back.
London was bombed for 57 consecutive nights. So good luck getting any sleep there. Of course, they were defended bravely by the RAF. There were the main Atlantic seaports of Liverpool was also bombed. All the seaports were bombed. They got nearly 4,000 deaths during the war, the seaports. So conservative estimate, and it, most of these are military, but a conservative estimate is that 1,200 civilians were killed in the North Seaport of Hull. So, it was a very scary time. At nighttime, people would head to the bomb shelters and... underneath the subway.
That would be the definition of a subway.
Yeah. To avoid...
So much for the olive.
I guess that didn't work so far.
For safety. They would scatter for safety. And it is in this environment that... dastardly deeds took place.
They did. That's me. All right. So, in response to these attacks, most cities in the UK instituted blackouts, which I think Tim already went over. But in case anybody is unclear what a blackout is, it's where you turn off all the lights.
Or, in your case, it's when you drink too much.
Yes. A few weeks into the Blitz, the Germans changed the day that their day attacks to night attacks. After about 2 months into this blitz, they started the blackout. No one was allowed to have lights on in their house, hence the name blackout. Due to the lack of light, many accidents occurred. People began tripping over curbs, running. Jesus Christ.
You can't see where you're going.
First of all, it's nighttime.
You know what's dangerous? You know what's dangerous in a blackout? A pogo stick.
You know what else?
Think about it.
That is dangerous.
I want you to think about it.
Or a unicycle.
What if you wear your sunglasses at night?
Or the knockout game would be much easier.
Well, we're going to get
it. You wouldn't even see it coming.
Right. You're right, Colonel.
Okay, so...
You're right, as always.
So the English people, God love their hearts, are tripping and falling all over each other, running into shit, being hit by cars. So it was pretty dangerous.
But they was always polite.
Well, yeah. Pardon me.
Did they drive without headlights on?
I believe, yeah.
So they were hitting shit all over the place.
Oh yeah, there was. Excuse me, chap. Have I just run you over?
I just ran into your living room.
That's better than what Tim got when he got hit by a car. So
by the rearview mirror.
So then, some really smart people decided that they weren't going to go out at night. There you go. And they would just stay at home or in their bomb shelter. So 20% of the population were involved in these huge accidents. But the blackouts also provided opportunities for criminals. One of those criminals was a young man in his late 20s named Gordon Frederick Cummins, who would later be known as the Blackout Ripper or the Blackout Killer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
He's no relation to Gordon Lightfoot.
Maybe.
I don't want to sully that name.
I'm not saying that they're relation.
Or E.E. Cummings. Well, it could have been.
No, they're two different names. But that's okay. So, Cummins would become an active British spree killer during World War II's German Blitz. Blitz means lightning.
Yes.
Yes. So much about Cummins' early life has been, much has been disclosed, but he was born sometime in late 1913 to early 1914.
I bet there was a lot of babies made during the Blitz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of like when there's, you know, you have,
baby boomers.
Like, you'll have a, you know, blackout here, and, you know, for like 2 or 3 days, you know, the electricity's gone out, and, you know, always a...
Yeah, they said during the 77 blackout in New York that they were a lot of
50 Shades of Grey coming
out. But that was a blackout. When you got... And you know...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
The colonel doesn't have this problem, but I would think that some men would have a problem. When you're having bombs going off around you, it might cause a little bit of erectile dysfunction.
I don't think for most men that's a
problem. Well, see, the women I'm used with, they're used to the feeling of bombs and
fireworks moving.
What basically they call your lovemaking style is called the Blitz. Yeah. Is that not right?
What is called the Blitz?
Because
it's lightning fast.
Because it happens quickly.
It's lightning fast.
And you don't know when it's coming.
That's right. Or when it's gone.
When it's gone. All this is a fire afterwards.
All the thunder. All right. So this dipshit got fired from all his jobs due to insolence and dishonesty. He enlisted into Britain's Royal Air Force.
Yeah, you keep yours.
You know that's right. I don't know. He enlisted himself into the British Royal Air Force in 1939. Quickly earned himself the nickname of the Count.
He called himself the Count. Like, sort of like calling yourself the Colonel.
It is a lot like that.
Yeah.
Because of his boastful claims to having noble heritage in his blood.
Yeah, do you know anyone like that in this room?
Can't think. It's right here on the tip of my tongue. Let me think about it.
So this guy's going around calling himself the Count.
Yeah. So
what if he had a cape?
What if he had cereal?
Yeah. Could be. It was chocolate cereal.
Chocolate cereal.
Let's see. Here's Cummins.
I was more of a Booberry fan myself.
I'm not surprised.
Now, see, I was the I was a Frankenberry man.
I was Captain Crunch.
Different branches of the military.
Well, why did he never get promoted, though? He was like Captain Kangaroo. They got stuck. They kind of peaked.
First of all, Captain Kangaroo was a badass.
He should have been promoted then.
And why was Captain Crunch wearing the Admiral things on his shoulder?
Well, he was in the Navy, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's got Admiral things, but he's Captain
Crunch.
He's
got Admiral hardware.
It's damn good cereal.
It is damn good cereal, even though it's painful to eat.
Painful to eat.
It's not. No, if you get the peanut butter kind and the little balls, it's not so bad.
Yeah. You like the little balls?
Colonel knows a lot about little balls.
And they're blue, too, so.
They're little blue balls.
All right, so Cummins was a ladies' man.
A ladies' man. He had the wang.
Did he make him a fifth sandwich?
Yes. You think he did? Got him some Cavassier? Let's see. And even though he was married to an attractive theater manager, Cummins still sought the company of prostitutes.
Well, who doesn't, really?
Well, you clearly do. So Cummins lived in London with his young bride when the Battle of Britain began. From the start of the conflict, the streets and buildings of London were kept dark as a precaution against the aerial bombing by the Germans. Street lamps weren't lit. The windows of houses, shops, office, factories were painted over, shuttered, or screened off with thick curtains. Showing even a chink of light could lead... I didn't write it. I'm just reading what I wrote.
Timmy!
That's racist.
It is so racist.
A little bit of light. It's like looking for a chink in the armor.
It's just not right. It's a British term. Uh-huh. I apologize to our listeners who Timmy just offended with that script.
I just don't talk about Chinese people. I said a chink of light.
Now you made it worse. Just stop.
Yeah, we didn't say you were talking about Chinese people. Yeah,
don't repeat it.
Am I going to have to go on an apology tour?
Don't repeat it.
Right.
Yeah. Just keep going.
I'm going to be on Al Sharpton's show.
Well, here. Let's do this. Let's do this. Showing even a sliver of light could
get Margaret Chow. I would have to talk to Margaret Chow, I guess. She's Korean. I don't know who I have to talk to, but
what the fuck?
If I have to go on an apology tour for using a term that is a common term in England, a chink of light. Our British listeners support me on this.
Stop. Wait a minute.
We have more Asian listeners than we do
British. I'm not Asian people. I was married to an Asian. I slept with many Asians.
Here's my question. Does he know we're not in England? Just wondering.
Chinese people there are? Don't piss them off, Timmy.
I've slept with many of them.
So you already got that.
All right.
They're
so
already mad.
Anywho.
Disappointed.
So even a sliver of light could lead to an appearance in court and a heavy fine. As bombs fell upon the capital, Londoners took refuge in cellars, underground train stations, and public air raid shelters. In a period of 6 days in February of 1942, in the midst of a darkened Blitz City.
You like that?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Dun,
dun, dun. Cummins, then 28 years old, murdered 4 women and attacked 2 others. We've done a lot to set up for these murders.
Yeah, the story is rather short, so I want to set the stage.
Okay, so we're all set up. It's dark. There's bombs going off. People have shaded their...
It's the end of the world, I tell you.
Yes, shaded their world.
This guy's out playing with prostitutes.
He's out twiddling prostitutes and killing people. So what's he doing?
Excuse me. So 3 of his victims were mutilated post-mortem. The newspapers dubbed him the Blackout Ripper.
I would just like to clarify, post-mortem, Brandy, that means after they're dead.
After death.
After.
So, again, not before, your dates.
Not before they're dead. After. On the morning of Sunday the 9th, of February, the body of the school teacher Evelyn Hamilton, age 42, was discovered in an air raid shelter in Montague Place in the Marylebone District.
Huh.
Marylebone.
He said bone.
There were no signs of sexual assault, and her body was not mutilated. The killer had either placed her, in the shelter after death or post-mortem.
Yes.
Or launched his attack when he found himself alone with her within its walls.
Pre-mortem.
Yeah, that is pre-mortem.
I believe.
Good, you're catching on.
I believe it's anti-mortem. But
why are you against it?
No, I'm just saying anti-mortem.
The next day, the 10th
Shut
of February.
Your crater.
The next day, excuse me.
Would that
the 10th
be the
of
day
February.
After
that would be
the day that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evelyn post the 9th.
Right.
Post Sunday. Evelyn Oatley, age 35, was found in her Wardour Street flat apartment in the Soho district. Oatley had turned to prostitution.
So sad.
And was using an assumed name, Nita Ward.
See, I knew her by Nita.
Are you sure it's not Anita Dick?
I did not.
I have told you that story.
No.
I went to high school with a boy named Greg Dick. I kid you not, his sister's name was Anita.
That's amazing.
Her middle name was Teresa. They called her Teresa, but her real name was Anita Dick.
I went to school with a girl named Sharon Peters.
Sharon Peters?
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are amazing stories.
It is, though. Mine took a lot less time than his did.
Well, of course it did.
The actual cause of the
death. Colonoscopies take less time.
The actual cause of the
death. And they're more fun.
And feel better.
Was strangulation. Her throat had been cut, she was naked, and her body had been sexually mutilated with a tin opener.
Gross.
That's not good.
Can opener, man, you got a crank. You got a crank that thing. Yeah, so if it was an electric can opener, it'd be different, but this is World War II.
It's probably not one of those. It's probably one of those ones that's got the big, huge thing on the end. And
yes, I mean, you have to.
No, there's no crank. There's no crank.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you just
like,
no
the, crank. Like the military ones.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
All
right. That implement was found close to her body, covered in Oatley's blood, and it provided fingerprints. An examination of the body yielded the fact that the killer was left-handed. The next day...
Much like the colonel here.
The next day, post-Monday...
Yes.
Which is the 11th of February.
Which would be Tuesday.
Yes. Another prostitute, Margaret Florence, did you know her?
Not by that name.
Maggie. You know Maggie?
Also known as Pearl. Did you know
Pearl,
her?
Pearl.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
She was murdered in her flat in on Gosfield Street.
Attractive, that Pearl. She used to wear those stockings.
Did you give her a pearl necklace?
No, I gave her $25. She was a very attractive young lady.
Not that kind of pearl necklace.
Yeah.
She had been strangled with a silk stocking and mutilated with both a knife and a razor blade. Her body was...
Yeah, she was 43 years old. She was aged out of that market.
Her body was not discovered until 3 days later.
Because at 40, what happens, Colonel?
Well, at 43, she would have probably had a good 2.5 inches of penis going on.
Bigger dick than you.
Go ahead, Casey. Please continue.
The pathologist Bernard Spilsbury stated after examining the victim's body that the murder was a savage sexual manic.
And let me tell you. Bernard Spilsbury,
Jacqueline.
Pathologist Bernard Spilsbury was well respected in the day
in the biscuit making industry.
Did you poke him in the belly? And
he was a pathologist. Our Mr. Pillsbury.
The similarities between the killings and mutilations convinced the police that the same killer was responsible for all three.
So those bobbies are pretty sharp.
Yes. Post-Tuesday, so what day are we up to, Brandy?
Wednesday.
The 12th.
Anti-Thursday.
Hump day! Hump day!
Oh, it is hump day.
Mrs. Doris.
Temp.
Jeanette.
What day is it? Come on, what day is it?
Hump day!
Whoop whoop!
So on hump day.
Who does that to you?
There's a lady here that does that. It drives me up off the fucking And then on Thursday is pre-Friday!
It's Friday Eve! She's the girl from Office Space. That's who she is.
And then it's, thank God it's Friday. And then it's, oh, it's Monday again. Tuesday's not really
shit. However, she bitches every single day.
So, anyway, on hump day, Mrs. Doris Juanette, her age is different depending on two different sources, 32. She might have been 32, also known as Doris Robson. She was murdered in a second room ground floor flat in Paddington District that she shared with her husband, who was a hotel manager. Not so, real sure why we need to know about her husband's occupation.
He likes to get into details.
She's a hotel manager. She's out walking in a street walker.
Casey.
She's a whore. Casey. Times are tight.
What happened the last time we talked about one of Timmy's scripts?
I know. I really should have known better. Yeah. But he seems to be in a little bit better mood today. Yeah.
Thank you, Casey.
She was known to be in the habit of picking up servicemen in Leicester Square.
Leicester, I think.
See, but, I'm a redneck. I can't read that.
Yeah, I only know because one time I was on a cruise, and I met this guy in from Leicester, England. I think it's Leicester. And he was drunk, and we were in Venezuela, and we were like, you know, the cruise ship is getting ready to take off, and this guy's arguing. We was at some bar in Caracas, and this guy is arguing with the guy about his tab, and you know, I'm scared to death we're gonna miss this boat, because if you miss the boat, you're on your own,
you're screwed.
You're screwed. And I'm like sweating it out. And this guy's guy from Leicester. I don't remember.
So he's correcting me on it. Yeah. He can't pronounce it either.
Anyway, he kept going around saying, "Relax, mate. You're on holiday." So now every time I travel, I always think about that. Relax, mate. You're on holiday. That's
fascinating.
Yeah, I know.
Now, she had been strangled anyway.
Quite a build up for nothing.
You had to be there. He was from Leicester.
So his last victim had been strangled with a scarf, and her naked body had been sexually mutilated.
Mm. That means her body was cut up, Brandy.
They don't know if it was post or pre-mortem. It doesn't say in the script.
Yeah. But some dastardly things.
First of all, I know exactly what mutilation means.
Oh, okay, good.
I've studied it. Be very careful with me.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are you talking about?
Charles.
Now, poor Greta.
Greta Van Stressen.
Greta Haywood. She was expecting some chocolate, maybe some roses.
I'll say I didn't remember her.
It was
Fox News anchor.
It was Valentine's Day to me. A day of romance.
A day of love.
And she happened to run across this sick freak. And instead of getting
chocolates,
a nice card,
or anything,
some roses, yeah.
Crotchless panties.
Crotchless panties.
Tried.
Not. Casey said it.
You're the one that got all hyped up about it.
You perked up like my dog when I say, "Rudy, you want to go outside?" Huh?
He's the hype man. He's the little midget outside the Kid Rock show that just comes up on stage with the mic. Get up. That's Timmy. His name was Joe C.
That's
who he is.
You know what really disappoints me is edible panties. One,
they're fruit roll-up.
They're not that tasty. Two, they fall apart really easy, and they're high in calories.
Well, you don't want them.
You don't want them
to be tough.
You're not supposed to cut them up and put them on your plate.
I'm just saying,
but you know what?
They're disappointing.
No, and Dennis will tell you, fruit roll-ups and edible panties are the worst thing in the world for your teeth.
Fruit roll-ups are the shit.
Yeah, but they're bad for your teeth. And edible panties, no good whatsoever. And I don't like sweet and salty things.
And the other thing is, if they've been used for, and if you put them on right fresh that day, that's one thing.
Yeah, but when they're all stuck to the hips,
I don't think you're supposed to work out in them.
Yeah,
I think that's one of those things when they go into the bathroom and say, "I'm going to slip into something more comfortable," or "I'm going to freshen up." At that point, then you put on.
Not like wear them all day.
Yeah, you don't go for a marathon run. Right.
Getting bubble gum in your hair. I mean, you got to get peanut butter to take the shit off. Yeah. It's not easy.
And nobody needs all that up in there, lady bits.
No, but I think
I don't need to be eating that shit either.
Well, that's your problem for having your face down there. I mean, if her lady bits are stuffed with fruit roll-ups, I think you got to question some life choices. I'm just saying.
If her lady bits are filled with fruit roll-ups, she's the perfect woman.
But you know what?
Tastes like strawberries.
Wait a minute. No,
if it's natural.
I think that.
You know, strawberry and tuna don't sound like a good combination.
I think it's going to change the makeup of those panties.
Less than 1% of women have natural fruit roll-ups in their vajayjay.
And if you see a fruit roll-up in a vajayjay, you know that vagina probably got teeth in it. Because that's the only way
I deal with
that.
That's the woman you marry.
Make sure you take the wrapper off of it, the plastic wrapper off before you eat.
So that would be my only problem because my mouth doesn't like to be surprised.
You know what I mean? The wrapper off, and I'm sorry. If you wear the edible fruit roll up panties,
is it fruit roll up by the foot?
No,
we don't want those.
No, it's the sheets of fruit roll.
Yeah, we don't want to use the sheets. We don't want to use by the foot.
No, you don't want to use.
You
by
can
the
make
foot.
Your own.
Only if you want to, use it as a dispenser.
That
would be cool.
DIY.
Stick it up and then you just pull it out like a scarf.
But here's the thing. This is what I'm telling you. As the only person here that's even mostly a woman, I'm going to tell you something.
Chuck has some.
She's 40 though.
Well, I'm more woman than she is.
Chuck has boobs. So
he has boobs. And he wears women's lady shoes.
He does. But you know, after you've worked out in those, and they're all sticky and gross, and all of those juices start flowing down there in your nether noddies.
That's the time to go in.
Yeah,
but, and in that the may front, be, but not the back.
Well, you know, sometimes that. You know, you can't have backless. It's all there. So you like, either have to eat big or go home.
Need not panties, but maybe chaps.
Well, they don't make fruit roll up chaps. They do not make edible chaps.
Fruit roll up chaps.
And this kind of relates to this quick story.
No!
How does he have a story about this?
For every fucking occasion. No. He's goddamn Cliff Clavin, I swear to God.
It's when your mouth is expecting one thing and gets another. Now,
you know, the other day, wait a minute, I got a quicker story than that. The other day I ordered a Coke, and I took a big swig of it, and it was iced tea. My mouth wasn't prepared for that. I was pissed off. Okay. And I went inside, and I got me a Coke, because those motherfuckers tried to trick me. See, that's a better story than what you were getting ready to tell.
Have you ever done that?
So we're going to move along.
Have you ever, like, on a hot summer's day, reach in the refrigerator and grab what you thought was water and it's milk?
No.
That is not a pleasant experience.
Okay, so I got one that tops all that.
Here's another one. You're reaching in a glory hole.
No. No, I've never. I can tell you now. I've never had this experience.
You've never done that.
No, it's just you.
So something was there, and something was in that glory hole you didn't expect.
So I'm working here.
Damn it!
Every at lunchtime, what I gotta do? I'm doing is going up to the hospital and seeing my brother and hanging out with him
because he's dead.
He was not dead at that time.
But he's dead now.
He was very ill at that time.
You're going to have to get over that at some point.
May God rest his soul.
So
get a tattoo.
Yes. I go to the cafeteria, and I get me a grilled cheese sandwich, a bag of potato chips, and then I see one of these plastic cups with a little bubble top on it.
Was it a grilled cheese on fat bread or thin bread? Because the fat bread grilled cheese
was
pretty good.
It was Texas toast. It was good.
So it's shit.
So I see one of those plastic cups with the bubble top and a little cherry on top, and I'm like, oh, today is my lucky day. They got tapioca and the thing. I'm just so happy. So I eat my potato chips. I sit at a table by myself. I eat my potato chips, my grilled cheese sandwich. I'm reading a magazine.
Did you eat a potato chip sandwich?
Did you go for your crabioca pudding? Did you go for it?
He's the only one I know eats potato chip sandwiches almost every day.
I did put my potato chips on my sandwich.
He does it as his meal. He does it every day.
Like bread, chips, and bread?
Yes.
Like no lunch meat?
No.
So like I'll put my potato
chips cheese.
Like
I'll put a piece of cheese on there.
Cheese on there. He has cheese
I'll put
sandwich.
Like turkey and chips and cheese.
No, he does just cheese.
I'm getting to the climax of my story.
Oh my God, I wish you'd get there soon. It's starting to hurt.
So I eat my potato chips. I eat my grilled cheese
sandwich.
Starting
to get annoying.
I pop the lid off my
crapioca pudding.
My tapioca pudding, but I don't like those maraschino cherries, so I take that off. And I take a bite, and I'm reading the magazine, and it is the foulest, most bitter thing that I have ever put into my mouth.
I doubt that.
So I jump up from my seat and spit the tapioca pudding back out onto the table. And I look at the container to think, what the hell's the expiration date? They sold me some bad tapioca pudding.
So far, this is a lot like your story, Brandy.
What I had done in my excitement of thinking I had tapioca pudding was purchased a container of cottage cheese.
That's nasty. But didn't you notice there weren't, like, those little fish eggs in it?
Well, I wasn't really paying attention. My brother was dying. And,
Yeah, those things on his mind.
I had
no,
not
he didn't.
Been sleeping.
Clearly he did not, because
he's already lost his mother and his father.
So I spit my stuff out.
He's not.
He spit his stuff
he's
out.
He's not Oliver Twist.
He's a spitter.
He's a spitter. You're a spitter.
He's not Oliver Twist, okay? He's not like he's going to be an orphan.
He spits stuff.
Yeah.
I actually am an orphan, so yeah. I had no parents. I'm the definition
of an
orphan.
Yeah, but you're big enough now that it doesn't matter. Go on.
Still hurts.
Define an orphan. I'm an orphan.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, can you give me
that? Does
that
make you feel better?
Does he have a mother? Does he have a father?
Do you get a tax break on that? Do we have to support you like we do all the other kids in foster homes?
You could provide.
You want a foster family.
You could provide a little emotional support.
Well, tough titties on that one. So go ahead.
So Tanner,
how's that olive branch going?
Tanner, you were wrong, son. So anyway.
Tanner, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, man.
That hostility runs so deep you couldn't get to it with a fucking bobcat. So anyway. I jump up, I spit the cottage cheese out onto the table.
Which is rude.
I look down at the container and think, these some bitches sold me a bunch of expired tapioca, and I'm going to go get my money back. Then I look on the container and see that it's cottage cheese. Now, I kind of feel a little silly now.
Yeah, right. Because it's clearly marked.
So I start giggling. And you know how when you start giggling to yourself and you're sitting at a table and you really start, you just can't stop giggling. And there's a bunch of nurses. And finally, one nurse came over to me and said, "Sir, are you doing okay today?" And I think she thought I was a mental patient.
Who'd escaped.
Who had come down to get lunch. And I explained to her about the cottage
cheese. She probably thought you beat up a security, little security guard.
The security guard. But my point being to all this is, why do they make the edible underwear sweet? Because you want, see, they should make it like fish stick flavor.
You told that story to tell this?
No, it's because when your mouth expects one flavor and gets another, your brain gets all out of whack.
All I'm saying is, if you're going to eat edible underwear, make sure it's not thong. And make sure you don't eat. Well, if it is thong, don't eat that little string.
I think that's personal preference.
That goes between the nether cheeks?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's personal preference.
I like the idea of using it like a dispenser. You stick like the fruit by the foot up in there, and then just whatever you want, something you can pull it out.
I think that Danny Thomas.
Just like the clown and the hanging sharks.
Yeah.
Pull it out when you want something.
I think Danny Thomas would love a thong edible underwear.
Okay, Colonel, what else happens with our friend, Mr. Cummings?
Oh, he's still
talking. Well, now, Greta, remember, it's Valentine's Day.
Right.
And she meets this Mr. Cummings, and he starts to hand her what she believes to be a nice Valentine's Day package.
Some chocolates, perhaps some stocking
edible paste. Perhaps a jelly donut.
Perhaps.
I mean, that's what I got the Mrs. Colonel for last Valentine's Day.
I always have a good package for my wife on Valentine's
Day. Well, and I gave the Colonel, Mrs. Colonel, a
package.
An exceptional package.
Did you pleasure her?
Every Valentine's Day, Timmy. Yeah. Every Valentine's Day, every anniversary, I got it's, you know, and it's like the Blitzkrieg, you know. Miss Colonel don't care what's going on around you. Right. The other night we had tornadoes.
Yeah.
You know, we had that in the thing.
That's because she's asleep.
She's waking me up.
No, she's not.
And then she's like, "Well, the tornado passed. We both up. We might as well, you know."
She didn't
might
say
as well pleasure you.
Might as well pleasure me. And I'm like, "God, woman, it's 3 o'clock in the morning."
She didn't do any of that.
But anyway, so rather than get a gift, what she got was strangled by Mr. Cummings.
Oh, well, that was disappointing.
Right.
Yeah. So a delivery.
I'd rather you got me nothing.
Yeah, that was his gift. He strangled her.
Right.
And, you know, she probably thought, you know, some men like to grab and be a little rough during sex, but
can be a little rough.
He just choked her to death.
Hmm.
But he laid down his gas mask. Bad mistake. This will come back to haunt him later. A delivery boy's on his round interrupted the assailant, and Haywood was able to escape. Now, Cummings fled but left his gas mask behind. The gas mask container was marked with serial number 525987. The number was easily traced and linked to Cummings, but even as police were working on that lead, he struck again, Timmy.
Yeah, he was on a spree.
A whore named Catherine Mulcahy,
a blitz,
also known as Kathleen King, also known as the whore.
Hey, come on, this is a victim. Be kind to victims.
I've told you time and time again, Timmy, you can't go out doing this. That's why they should legalize prostitution.
I agree. Go ahead.
They should legalize it, make it safe for these women.
I agree.
She was attacked in a flat located near Paddington Rail Station. She resisted coming so effectively that he abandoned his murderous intentions and gave her an extra 5 pounds and left quickly. He left behind his ARF-issued belt. This sumbitch ain't got nothing left.
So he's on the previous attack, he leaves behind his gas mask.
Now he leaves his belt, which included a name and serial number.
Dumbass.
Now, with their knowledge of the other vicious attacks, Catherine Mulcahy notified the police. On February 16th, 2 days post-Valentine's Day,
after Valentine's Day,
the police arrested Mr. Cummings in the St. John's Wood District.
Wood.
Wart.
His fingerprints matched those on the bloody tin opener, and a search of his quarters turned up several items that belonged to his victims. So not only was he a murderer, a rapist, and a whatnot, he was a thief, too. Now, police also had his gas mask. Now,
which Cummings, would come in handy in the gas chamber.
Yeah, the police also found a silver cigarette case in Cummings' flat, the name of the victim, Evelyn Oatley, engraved on it. Cummings went to trial for his murder spree on April 27th, 1943. During this time, he wrote a letter to his wife that seemed to imply that he might have blacked out, because it was during the blackouts.
For sure.
So that makes sense.
He did it by accident.
He was under a lot of stress.
When he started killing. Nevertheless, it took the jury 35 minutes to eventually find him guilty of murder, and he was sentenced to death by rectal impaling.
No, that's not true. But you know what? Wow. You know, there were
that
a lot of...
That sucks. You know,
there probably were a
they
lot
was
of,
getting tough on crime back then.
There's probably a lot of people take advantage of the blackout to do all
kinds. Oh, I'm sure they did. Pickpockets,
I remember right before the last Iraq war, one of the CNN or somebody was over there. They were interviewing, like, doing man-on-the-street interviews right before the U.S. attacked Baghdad. And this guy was saying, they'd ask him what he was going to do in the event of the attack. He said, I got three or four people I'm going to kill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had all planned out. So I'm sure that has happened a lot.
Well, mm-hmm. On June 25th, he was hung from a beam, and then dropped down to a big pole where he was rectally impaled.
Good Lord.
And,
it's not right.
Okay, but they should have gave him some carnal justice. Don't you think, Case?
Yes.
Just hanging was too easy, simple for this guy.
Definitely rectal impalement.
Should have been a hanging.
Should have been a kamikaze. They should have put him in. He was a fighter.
A kamikaze?
What is a kamikaze?
Is that like a drink?
What the fuck? It sounds like a drink.
They should put him in a plane, send him to Berlin, and had him crash in the middle of Berlin.
That would have been a good idea. That would have been good carnal justice.
That would have been
or
a kamikaze.
Or they could have dropped
mission.
Him from the plane onto a big pole.
And then he could have, instead
been
of
rectally
just
impaled.
Dying, he could have taken out some of those, what was that word?
Nazis?
Jinx.
No, that was, we're not using that term. That's derogatory.
Anyway, it is derogatory. What's wrong with you?
So they hang this guy.
They hung him. Yeah. They hung mm-hmm. him.
Was he hung?
He was not hung.
By the neck?
But after his execution, a fake body was discovered. And the woman identified as one, Mrs. Church, was killed in October 1941. The items used in the investigation, including the knives used by Cummings to mutilate his victims, his gas mask, and the cigarette case, can now be viewed at the Scotland Yard Museum of Crime.
Man.
Have you ever been there?
No, but I'd like to go there. That would be cool.
I have been there before, Timmy.
Can't you go there when you go make your jaunt across the pond?
I don't think I'm going to the UK, but yeah, I'd like to see that.
I have never been to the UK, but I have
been to Scotland Yard.
Well, because they got a branch here, you know that.
You used to mow Scotland Yard.
I used to tend to it. I used to tend to it when it get dandelions and crabgrass. I would take care of that.
So, I don't know if you mentioned this because I couldn't tell with all your bullshit. But ironically, when they took him to the gallows, it was in the middle of a air raid.
Yeah, I did mention that actually. Okay. Did you pay attention to anything I said?
Or anything that he wrote?
Yeah, you wrote the fucking thing. I mean.
Casey, any final thoughts on Mr. Cummings, the Gordon Frederick Cummings, the blackout ripper?
Guy was kind of a creep.
Kind of a creep, but he was an opportunist, don't you think? Took care of business when...
Do you believe he would have killed...
I don't think they should go out killing prostitutes. The more prostitutes in this world, the better. There's no reason to thin out the prostitutes.
I totally agree. And plus, it keeps prices down.
That's right.
Brandy.
Supply and demand.
Yes, by a minute. Your final thoughts on Mr. Cummings?
I definitely think he was an opportunist. It was a smart move to wait.
Yeah.
Smart.
You know, I was and Casey, I'll get back to your prostitute thing. I was watching a comedian.
Are these your final thoughts?
It is my final thoughts.
Okay, Chuck, ask him or Tim, ask him first. Final
Chuck, thoughts. What's your final thoughts Gordon Frederick Cummings?
Well, I was watching a comedian, and he was talking about America and its freedoms and how proud we are of our freedom. and how we think we're so free and everything. And he said, you know, in Amsterdam, you can bang a prostitute, smoke a joint in front of a policeman, and not get in trouble. That, Timmy, is freedom.
It is freedom. And that you can go freedom. To the and you can go to the Anne Frank house.
Yeah, we are not free to do that
here. You can scream your hands off.
We are not a free people, Timmy.
It's Helen Keller.
Let my people free.
I've been to Amsterdam, and I've seen the whores in the window.
Mm-hmm. The midget, did you
ask
midget?
How much are those whores in the window?
How much are those? How much is that boy in the window?
All right, so Brandy, or Casey, where can people find us?
People can find you guys on the Facebook.
Facebook, we have two pages. We have the History Dweebs page where we post a lot of history-related topics. That's the name. And we also have the History Dweebs, the podcast group, that if you join, you can join in all the frolic.
Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher.
And the iTunes.
iTunes. Leave us a review. We've got some nice reviews that we'll mention in an upcoming podcast. But Cindy left us a very nice review. Jenny in Minnesota left us a very nice review. So thank you very much for that. That's how people find us. So if you're listening to us on iTunes, please subscribe and leave us a review. We would really appreciate it. And where else can they find us,
Brandon? The Twatter.
Twatter. We're on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1. And Casey, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for letting me come in today and bug you guys.
Jim Barron will be very excited.
Hi, Jim.
On the podcast.
We need more good people like you out there.
And
Jesus.
So say goodbye, everyone.
Good day,
goodbye,
listeners.
Bye, everyone. And we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.